We turn to Hong Kong now. We're going to take a closer look at the protest community that has been at the heart of the democracy protests there. What began as a roadblock has grown into an urban village with several hundred tents that attract more than 1,000 people at night. The illegal camp is a combination street fair and outdoor art gallery. There are sculptures and posters, as well as art therapy, movie screenings, even a free library. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports from the Hong Kong pop-up protest community.
The vibe here is like an American college campus in the 1960s, except it's on an island on the edge of the South China Sea and surrounded by skyscrapers. The camp sprawls across and blocks Hong Kong's Harcourt Road, a major highway. Beyond the protesters' demands for democratic elections, what distinguishes the place is a sense of community, best captured by the free services that have sprouted up to meet demonstrators' needs. Like the furniture-making shop, Casey Wong is a professor of design at Hong Kong Polytechnic University. He says some of his students kicked it off.
This whole movement was generated from the students' boycott of the school a few weeks ago. And they're thinking about boycotting school but not boycotting studying. So how can you resolve this problem?
By building the students' desks and chairs and creating an open-air study hall that can now easily accommodate 100 people. Terrence Tam is one of the furniture builders. He's 26 and works in IT.
We are volunteer. They are studying very, very hard, so we can try to make them more comfortable.
Do you know anything about carpentry?
No, no.
And so where did the wood come from?
From the garbage collection.
Why did you decide to do this?
As a Hong Kong guy, I just think this what I can do for this place and for the teenager. I think they are not fighting, not for their future, but also our future.
If scrapwood carpentry isn't your thing, a few dozen tents down, there's art therapy.
There's a lot of things going on, a lot of emotion and feelings.
Map Tang is a social worker. She says 3 weeks of demonstrating have left many physically and psychologically exhausted.
That's why we wanted to have a tent here with all the materials of art making, so we can actually to take care of ourselves and also express our feelings.
Tang has set out construction paper, an array of colored pens, feathers, thread, and stickers on a tarp. One tool is conspicuously missing. Scissors.
Because you have something that is a weapon, lethal weapon, the police can take you away.
What do you do to cut the paper?
Just using our hand. Just tear it off.
Sooner or later, police will clear this camp, which is completely illegal.
I'll be really sad. I've been thinking about this a lot.
Elizabeth, she doesn't want to give her full name, just graduated from college and has been spending a lot of time here. She says she's going to miss the camaraderie and shared sense of mission.
This whole building of community is essential if we want to have a sustainable movement. Because we know that this movement doesn't end just here, and we have to continue it.
After the tents are gone, that's probably the biggest challenge. Many Hong Kongers support the protesters' democratic goals, but the camp has caused 3 weeks of traffic jams on this crowded island. And most Hong Kongers, honestly, are looking forward to seeing it go. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.